Welcome back to the Giselle Show podcast, Meet Friends, where we are making stuff up, being real, and talking about it. Welcome back to everybody. Hey, and I want to say thank you so much to our listeners live. We have Adrian and Kate Lure is listening, and Hyper Canadian, hello, and Joseph Douglas Watson, hello, and Peter WG, hello.
Wait, Hyper Canadian, does that mean he's like really fast, or that he's like kind of hyperactive and he's
probably
Canadian?
Really cold, really.
I think
really
he's
cold.
A.
To me,
a.
He seems.
He's listening and saying, "What's it on the boat? What's it a boat? What's it a boat? What's it a boat? What's it a boat?"
He's really polite. Maybe he's hyper polite.
Like you think?
He's very nice. He's a nice friend of the show, and he also listened to Marty's podcast. He's a really nice guy.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I like him.
I like the what's it about. Give us a thumbs up if you think that's funny, because I'm still laughing.
And Joseph Douglas Watson had a nice Twitter comment when we was talking about the traumas and people helping. He quote this quote, "When something scary happens, always look for the helpers. There are always people helping." And that's from Mr. Rogers. Oh, that's
which
really sweet.
Really well with you.
And then Peter WG tweeted in response to our little scene of the sales lady. He say, "I must say, as a former retail worker, I never used date rape as a sales tactic." Maybe you got to up your game, Peter W. Always be closing.
Or opening, if you will.
We got some listener submissions later in the show, so we're going to do those. And thank you for everybody who's letting other people know about the podcast, because new listeners are finding us online and downloading. We post clips on Facebook and Twitter, and you can help us build up our little Minecraft dig hole of podcasts. To check out our social media feeds and give your thumbs up of approval and let your network know about what we're doing. Thank you so much. Later in the podcast, we're going to have 100 words and a story of my hippie adventure and some creativity wheel of death. But coming up right now, oh no, I already did that. Coming up right now, yeah. Leslie, you had a story to tell.
Well, I wrote, is this a story or 100 words I wrote?
No, not that. You wanted to talk about your gastrointestinal issues and we was going to...
Well, yeah. I don't know if it's the winter and like a change in seasons or like more winter vegetables. I'm just a little gassy. And the other day I went and had Korean food, and then I went shopping in the little grocery store there afterwards, and I cleared the aisle. I had to run over to like the fish section of the store and just be like, I don't know what that was. So it's not an attractive quality. You don't want to be old, slightly fat, or slightly past your prime, and then gassy. Yeah.
Wait, you haven't heard about that tribe where it's actually a compliment?
Oh, well, I'm not living in that tribe, so I don't see how that applies to
because
me.
It's cross-cultural.
Yeah, well,
you're bringing new cultural traditions.
Yeah,
you know, it's like that expression, somewhere on the earth it's 6 o'clock, so it's okay to drink. Somewhere on the earth it's okay to fart.
There you go.
It's actually a compliment. I really like you, and that's why I'm gassy for you.
Well, I thought you might have fun turning your woes into a lovely little song with Obadiah on trumpet.
Fantastic, yes.
And maybe we improvise a little tune. So,
yeah.
Well, I'm excited. I mean, I'm excited that Obadiah is going to join in with
me. Join in and see where we can go with this thing. And okay. Should we start with like some kind of a genre of music?
I think we should do it kind of jazzy.
Kind of jazzy. Oh. All right.
Because, you know... Yeah, I think we should do it kind of jazzy.
So, okay, Sam. Maybe a lot of it's going to be about my little counter line, and you take the melody, and I'll counter you.
I'm just going to give you like a lot of meaningful eye contact.
Cool.
Hopefully.
Remember.
You missed that.
I was doing my eyebrows like up and down. And yeah. I can't do like Spock where it's like just one up. Can that anyone do that good. Here?
I cannot.
Can you do it? No, honey, you can't do it. Okay. And I say that.
Yeah, a little bit. Billy get one a little bit, but it's different.
Yeah, but unfortunately, his eyes don't look like Spock's. They look like Charles Manson. Underneath. So it's like super not as attractive. It's okay, though. You're still pretty to me. I'm gassy. I have no right to say anything about anything.
Take it that way.
Cool. Let me do a little intro here and get you into it.
I'm gassy, so gassy, don't know if it was cheeseburgers or the rum, but something's going on with my bum. My bowels have a mind of their own, which makes me have to sit on the throne a lot. It's not who I want to be. I'd rather just have to pee and be me. That's like one of the stupidest things I've ever done. Honestly. Wow.
I think it was terrific. It was beautiful. No. And I don't know if the listeners could see, but there was a light of joy in your eyes. You looked like you was freeing trapped miners.
I think there's a little trapped miner inside all of us.
I can just see you standing on the periphery of the rescue site. Hello, everybody. I'm going to entertain you while you're saving the miners. With a little tune.
Yeah. I'll bring my own horn section.
You gotta know what you're good at.
That was great, and thank you to Obadiah Thomas. Oh, yes.
What a talent.
Yeah. You know, if there was like an emergency scene where they were saving a child from the well or something, it'd be funny if it's like, hey, I just wanted, there's a bunch of people out there. It's like, hey, I'm a comedian. Just thought I'd light the mood up a little. Out of here by the tragedy.
You probably wonder why I called Joel here today. Oh, you came for something. Oh, well.
You got to do one of my kids
out of here. I hope the kid lives.
I know my dad was never around for me, so I know what it feels like. Because sometimes I was in my room for hours and hours. Seemed like no one would come to save me. But look at you. Oh, you're Mr. Popular, aren't you? Oh, la-di-da.
I sometimes feel angry with, like, firemen.
Whoa. Wow. I did not expect that sentence.
Because they're emergency responders, and I know this is completely irrational, but I get angry that they use their sirens and lights to kind of push us around a little bit when we're driving. And I'm not sure that there's any oversight of it. If they just get it aside that they turn it on and clear the road and make you stressed out.
The police do that.
Like, right?
The police, like, not the fire department.
No, I sometimes feel like, and it's like, why are you driving a ladder truck? Like, how often is that necessary in a residential neighborhood? Yes. I realize you have to practice.
Well, they've got a lot of other things on that truck.
I know, but it just, it's irrational. I also don't like men on incline bikes. So neither of these things make sense. Uh-huh. They just seem very know-it-all to me.
Now, see, I have a problem with police on bicycles. I realize it's a very efficient way to get around, but when I see a cop with a bicycle helmet and shorts on, I have a hard time not equating him with a teenager. And I just can't give him the great respect.
I think it would be fun to do that. I wouldn't want to arrest anyone. I would like to drive around and say, hey, be careful.
I like the police officers on those Segways. Oh, they look cute. Because I saw that Paul Blart Mall Cop. And I really liked it.
That was a good movie?
Yeah, the first one.
The first one.
The first one was good enough. I enjoyed it. The second one, not as good.
I read the book.
So. I didn't see either one of them, but I do know the inventor of Segway, and he thought it was going to change America and the way people got around.
Is he disappointed?
No, he's just an ass.
Oh.
Is he really?
You why? Met him at work, didn't you?
Through work.
It can't change it unless you can go 60 miles an hour.
You
like,
think?
I mean, and then it's sort of scary.
I thought when I first heard of them, I thought they was going to change everything.
They changed some things. I mean, you know.
Did you ever take a Segway ride? I did one of those tours. It was fun.
I did one without the top part.
Just like, the hoverboard?
Oh, what are those things
hoverboards.
Called?
Hoverboard,
yeah.
Oh, yeah. So it's kind of hard to get your balance.
Did it have the
balance.
Stick, though?
No,
it didn't. The hoverboard.
Yeah. Okay. So it's like, you know, you have to
well, they
like
have
skateboard.
The big CES show in Vegas right now, the Consumer Electronics Show. So it's all the new stuff that's going to be coming out. And apparently they're going to make televisions wafer thin that you can pull off walls and put on other walls, and it'll just, I mean, that's like totally the
wow.
future. Uh-huh. Yeah, it's not ready to be rolled out yet and integrated with
like
cable and stuff.
Peel and watch.
Peel
and watch.
Well, in Koreatown where I live, like any television that's not, you know, the thin flat screen is thrown out.
Yes.
On the, in the grass in the front of your building, along with anything else you don't want.
They're the big developers.
You don't want it, throw it out in the
LG
front.
LG.
That's the rule.
And Samsung.
Daewoo.
Maybe Daewoo, but the big ones are Samsung and LG, okay. which was lucky gold in Korea, but they realized that no one in America would buy lucky
no, it sounds
something
cheap.
Stupid. So they changed it to LG.
And now it's very popular.
Very popular.
They changed the motto to Life is Good, I think.
Yes.
Oh,
that.
Yeah.
Okay.
They're smart.
I'm sorry.
They see their opportunity and they take it.
Thank you.
We have now our new favorite segment, which is the Creativity Wheel of Death.
Bum, bum, bum.
And that's music.
Whoa.
This is new.
That's much
I am scared about the wheel
of death.
What will it do?
Of death.
What will happen?
Of death.
To me.
Of death.
Of
death.
Will it suck or will it rock? I don't know. I will love death.
Death.
Random, 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 random death.
Death, death, death.
I don't know what's gonna happen.
It's not as bad as it sounds.
We will find out.
Worse.
So we all
wrap it up.
Whatever, and see.
I want two more verses for me.
It's already working.
All right, so we're gonna spin. We're each gonna take a spin.
Wait, who made this?
The wheel?
Just. This.
The wheel itself was made by a company that makes spinning wheels.
Okay.
It's called Spinning Designs, and they're very good. It was given to me. The wheel was given to me. And then it have this magnet, so you can just put your own little piece of paper. So we put the little creative challenges.
I better put on my glasses.
These challenges change every week?
Can we tweet out a picture of the Wheel of Death? We're going to tweet out a picture right now from at the Giselle Show, our Twitter, if you want to follow, and you can see what it's like. But let's each take a spin, and then we will have our challenge, which we will do later in the show. Who want to go first?
I'll go. I'm sitting right next to it.
So. Leslie freaking Dixon, give it a spin. Here she go. Here she go.
Oh, you're so unlucky.
There you go. Oh, you have a new song.
I think I need to sing a song about something.
Oh my
I need
God,
to let
I
go.
Something you've had to let go.
It's to be something else, girl.
Wait, something
look
what?
Look into your
read
heart.
It. I know, but sing a song about something you've had to let go.
You don't like that
my
one.
My retirement savings. No. I am selling my house, as you know, because I was not fulfilled.
That's not
being
a song.
A homeowner.
But she's
that's something
sing
I had to
it
let
later.
Go.
She's going to sing it later. You take it now. We're going to perform them in a little bit.
Oh.
Yeah, that's how it goes, girlfriend. Yeah.
So you have yours.
You are basically
who wants
just
to go next?
Okay,
hitching your wagon to a star right now. You don't know what's happening next.
Here go Obadiah.
I'm a going.
Hey, give it that spin.
Oh my. Could be.
You want to read that one?
Yes, I will read that one.
What you got?
It says, act out a dramatic monologue about earning.
Earning. Good one. Very good. Billy?
Yes, I'm ready. Spin this.
Ooh, he went counterclockwise. What the heck?
Well, because I'm over here, you know.
Ooh.
Perform a contrast monologue. See Giselle for details.
I will tell you what is a contrast.
Giselle, I got a message that I should see you about something.
About contrast monologue. A contrast monologue is you're just going to make up a monologue, but your emotions is going to be in contrast to the subject matter of the monologue. It's pretty funny. So I'll tell you a little bit more later.
Now I get it. Like if I was saying, I'm so happy. No, you could say
that. Like that.
No, but that wouldn't be right. Be like, my father died.
Yeah. Yes. You get it.
Okay. I get it. I think I'm on board.
You get it. Okay, and then me, I'm going to try one this week too. And I have to tell you, I'm pretty nervous. I always talk really big about, we'll be creative in the moment. And now I'm going to have to put up or shut up. Oh my goodness, look what I got.
That's
perform a narrated interpretive dance about the first time.
That is good.
Additionally, that seems weird that that would be on radio.
Well, that's why it's going to narrate.
Oh, a narrated interpretive dance.
Mm-hmm. Like, everything is thought out here.
Are you going to do like your dance moves? Tendu, tendu, and press and close and second position and arms out. I was really sad. Like that. Plie, plie, grand plie. Like that?
I guess, well, now you give me ideas. This is good. I will. I think I will do it.
I think you should make yourself a really good dancer, like foite, foite, and grand jeté, like all the big ticket moves. They don't need to know you can't
What's
do them.
What's a foite?
It's like that one.
She sang about it earlier.
It's like the one where they go, and they're like, they go up, and their leg, you know, the front leg.
Oh, a ronde de jambe?
No, it's like, I can show you. It's a foite. It's
okay.
But I like that you know Ronde Jambe.
I don't know what the foite you're talking about.
Sorry.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, while we are going to give ourselves a moment just to think of a little bit of ideas for this creative Wheel of Death performances, we was talking earlier about being communal and trying a lot of things. Obadiah mentioned one time I went on a bus trip with a bunch of hippies. It was a really fun trip. And so I'm going to play a recording of me telling that story right now. Here we go.
Thank you. So when I was a kid, this American movie came to Hamburg, Germany. It was called Freaky Friday. It was where the teenage girl and her mother switch bodies, and so for that day, the Friday, the girl get to be her mother, and the mother get to be the girl, and they each have each other's life for the day. And that get me thinking, for what is it like to be somebody else's life? So then one day, I'm an adult, and I'm going onto the internet to look around on the Craigslist ride share. Because I like to see where all the people is going, and then I can imagine what it's like to be the person who is going to that place. And then I see this one ad, and it say, veggie oil fueled hippie bus going to Ashland, Oregon. Well, that opened up a whole world of inquiry for me.
Yeah.
So I click on it and I read, and it's this guy, Steve. And I think, he seemed really nice. What he write in the ad? So I write to him an email and I say, you seem really nice. What you write in the ad? I cannot go with you, but have fun on your trip. Then I'm so surprised because he write back to me, why can't you go? And I think, hey, he have a point. Maybe the hippies on this hippie bus is reaching out to me to try on their life. So I call up to Steve and I meet him on the phone, and he seemed really nice, normal guy, don't seem crazy. And at that moment also I was at something of a crossroad in my job, was going really stressful, so that mostly I'm just sitting at my desk swearing in German. So I decide, yes, I will go. The hippies will give me a tasting of their life of peace. They will teach me to be here now. And the power of saying yes. So then the next weekend, Sunday, I'm standing on the street corner, what we have arranged. And then here come the bus. And it's a big old school bus, painted blue. And there is Steve at the wheel. Inside the bus, the regular seats has been taken out. And there's just counter down the side, and sofa, and then a big mattress at the back. And there's all the hippies there sitting there, and they all say hello to me. They ask me about me, so I tell them, you know, I'm a button maker, but I had to take a break from my life. And they all understand that. They say, yeah, man. So the people on the bus, there was Steve. He was mid of his 40s. I think he used to have a big fancy job, but he say, I just want to relax and hang out, man. So that was Steve. Then there was Rachel and Lee. They was like in their 20s, and they had been living in a yurt. Which I learned is just a very difficult way of saying tent. Also, there was this guy, Velton. He was really cute. He had long, flowing hair and big brown eyes. But he also really, really stinky. Because I think that he's so busy trying to be here now that he can't find the time to be in the shower. There was Melanie. She was French, and all the time driving, she liked to lean out the window and shout her philosophies to the people on the street. And mostly, her philosophies was, hey, you look uptight, you should come on the hippie bus with us. Mostly, her message did not reach its intended target. And so then we drive up to Ashland, Oregon, and we're going to spend a week at the home of Theo and Shelley, who are two friends of Steve that he met at Burning the Man. So we get there. And so I start to learn the hippie way. The first thing I learn is about the hugs. You hug the hippie hello, you hug the hippie goodbye. It'll be meaningful, long hug, and the first one who break is the corporate lackey. Then the second thing I learned is about my water bottle. Because you see, I was using an old bottle from Mountain Dew that I just refill with water, and it's my water bottle. But Theo tell me, no, the corporate symbology on the label is leaching into the crystalline structure of the water so that I'm actually drinking corporate brainwash. I had no idea. So then Shelley hold up to me this old jar, what is filled with brown liquid. I say, why is it brown? She say, it's got Osarium and ancient earth. And I think about it, I think she is just talking about an old pile of dirt that she just mixed in the water. She'd make mud. She's drinking mud. But it is my week with the hippies, so I taste the mud water. It tastes like mud. Score one for the hippies. The next day, today, we meet two more of their hippie friends, Caleb and Angelina. And Caleb is this scruffy, spacey guy. He has hair going this way and that, and his thoughts going this way and that. And he loves to play guitar, but he only knows one song, Hallelujah. So he plays it in a loop. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Finally he stopped. I go, Hallelujah. Wednesday, they have the sacred geometry meeting. And I learned about something really cool, what is called a straw jet, which is this device which takes agricultural residue and it compress, cover with magnesium oxide to make building blocks. So all the hipsters over there in Malawi using the stalks from the tobacco harvest, which normally would just be burned in the field, but they're making building blocks out of them and making it for their little huts. So that's really great. Score 2 for the hippies. Then Thursday, we take a hike up into the hills in the morning, and then we go dumpster diving. But it's where you dive into the dumpster and you get things that are still usable. I am too shy to go into the dumpster myself, but Rachel dive in. We hear her rummage, rummage. She come up with a big smile on her face. She found a pretty fresh cabbage and a potato. Then we have our found food dinner. It was really tasty. And at one point I hear Caleb saying to Steve, well, I would go for yoga teacher training, but for that I have to get to India. And for that, I just need money. And he looked up to the heavens and he said, Lord, please send me $4,000. And Steve said, hey, Caleb, you know, you can do yoga teacher training in San Francisco for just $2,000. And Caleb said, yeah, but in India, it's free. Then the next day, we have a big discussion about the gender of the bus. Is the bus a lady bus or a man bus? Everybody discussed. Finally, Steve said, actually, the bus is a female. And Lee from the yurt get a very serious look on his face. And he said, well, that changes my entire relationship with this bus. So then it is time to leave. Oh, the last goodbye hug. We was there for like 20 minutes. No one wants to let go. We're hugging. Finally, we get on the bus, we go home. And so, I had this week of getting to try on to be the hippie. And even though I kind of giggle at the funny things that they say, what I see is that they're just people like you and me, everybody the same. Everybody's just everybody. So I say thank you for the hippies to remind me of this. Thank you. I love that adventure with the hippies. They were so nice to me. We're going to take a little bit of a break right now. You're listening to the Giselle Show podcast, Meet Friends, and we will be right back.